So this is our, again, I'm going to reiterate, this is our Sunday program, and we're very happy to see everybody. And actually, I'll say a few words after I chant Jai Radha Madhava, which is usually done at the beginning of the program. So let's chant right now. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhuba Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhuba Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Also Tera Satoshi Shimad, His Divine Grace Savaya Chatanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai, Parem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shivaita Gadadha, Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Gopinath Shyamakunda Radhakunda, Giri Govardhani Ki Jai, Vrindavanam ki jai, Mataradam ki jai, Jagannatha Swami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Srimati Dulasi Devi ki jai, Sundarita Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasaya Udlay Srimati Bhakta Vrinda Swami. Stay, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Chani, Nibhasesis, and Yavadi, Paschata Deja Tari. So, Magana, Tivananda, Shagaran, Jana, Shalakaya, Chapsur, Minitan, Yena, Tasmai, Shigurve, Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, before going on to the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, I just want to mention the person you saw dancing, I spotlighted her video so everyone could see, was Champaka Lata. She's a expert Bharatanatyam dancer, and during Janmashtami, she's going to be putting on three or four different performances, maybe a lot more, and it's going to be based on the Lita Madhava. For Janmashtami, it's going to be a very special presentation with narrations. Rupa Goswami's play, Lalita Madhava. Maybe not the whole thing, but a lot of it will be there. So you get a chance to watch that during Janmashtami. Janmashtami here is on the 11th of August, and I guess in the evening here it'll be the 12th of August in Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji. So you're welcome to join all of our festivities, which will mostly be online. And if you want to, on Janmashtami, if you, any of you want to sponsor the Abhishek, that'll be available online too. So we'll have everything online, hopefully, if the internet TVs cooperate. So then, actually what I wanted to talk about was the importance of association before we get to the Bhagavad Gita. We were talking about this an hour or two ago, that all of us need to have the association of other Vaishnavas. Now, of course, we're reading Prabhupada's books and chanting our rounds, and we have our deities at home, because many people are just like at home and working from home and chanting from home and doing everything from home. And it makes it a little difficult because we are all used to having other Vaishnavas around us, you know, being surrounded by Vaishnavas and encouraging each other in our devotional service. You know, Krishna actually says that, that the devotees, you know, they gather together. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhado bhavanti ritkarna risayana katha. Lord Kapila states that. That the devotees, they prasangam mama virya sambhado. They gather together and they talk about Krishna's heroic activities or devotional service. And so we all need that sort of association. And it's a challenge right now. So one of the reasons we're doing all these Zoom calls on the internet is that so people can have association with each other. It's not only that they people should be watching me, but you can actually see all your friends, your godbrothers, godsisters, goduncles, godaunts, whatever, on the internet. And you're actually, you know, visually, because we are a visually oriented culture. As much as we understand sound vibration is the most important thing, there's no doubt about it, but because our culture, the modern culture, is extremely visually oriented. Now, the ancient cultures weren't visually oriented as much. Even when I was young, we weren't so visually oriented. There really wasn't television at that particular time. It was at most a little tiny screen. Once a week, you'd see a little something on it, and it was black and white. So usually, we would just read a lot, hear stories. I remember going to sleep at night and having my parents and grandparents read me different stories. Unfortunately, the stories were not about Krishna. But they weren't so bad either. They were just like Little Red Riding Hood or Snow White and the Seven Devotees. Stories like that. So, unfortunately, it wasn't Snow White and the Saptarishis, which is what it should have been. So anyway, so we were forced to visualize all these things, and hearing became extremely important. In the modern day and age, you know, seeing is also important. You know, we see the deities, of course, and also it's important to see each other and understand and reinforce each other's devotional service. So that's one of the purposes of doing things with a visual, you know, with Zoom or with other visual programs, because most communication nowadays is non-word. In other words, it's not based upon the word itself. It's based upon, well, first of all, the tone of voice and also the body language of people. So we can see, and I very much appreciate, you know, seeing all these devotees. I mean, some of you, as I mentioned many times before, put yourself, cut your camera off so I can't see you. That's so I can't catch you, you know, sleeping during the class or doing something else. But anyway, so it's part of the Sangha to actually see the devotees. So don't be afraid of me getting upset if you're sleeping during the class. At least I can see you, even if you are sleeping. So therefore, if you're feeling a lack of association, this is, of course, the next best thing you can do. And we're doing this every evening at 6 o'clock, except for this evening when it's at 5 o'clock, and you can all figure out the time in New Zealand, Fiji, and wherever else you are. And then also, we're doing in the morning, East Coast time, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 6:30 in the morning, which is the same time, same day in New Zealand and Australia. It's like 8:30 in Australia and 10:30 in New Zealand and Fiji. So anyway, so you get the idea. So let's get on with the class and just take advantage. You know, we need association. You know, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva sashakoi, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. I mean, practically all the conversations I'm having right now with people are utilizing video. Even our GBC meetings now are done on Zoom, and I'm using WhatsApp to talk to, I was talking to two or three other GBC people today, one person in Italy, another person in Oklahoma, is it Oklahoma? Yeah, it was Oklahoma. And, you know, we're all seeing each other, which is actually very nice. Where was the other person? Oh, the other person was in Germany. Not Germany. Was in Czechoslovakia. So in this way, you know, this way we're having each other's association. And actually, I think we're having more association now than we've ever had before, which is kind of nice. So take advantage. I mean, this modern technology has actually been arranged by Krishna. The coronavirus, anyway, it's there. And if something happens, you have to make the best use of the situation. It's not that we just lament and crawl into our little caves and wait for everything to be over. In America, you have this one animal called the groundhog. And he crawls into his cave, or even a bear crawls into his cave in the winter and he just hibernates and waits till the sun comes out. So you should always let the sun shine in, as the song goes. Here comes the sun. Anyway, the sun is the association of devotees. All right, let's go to the Bhagavad Gita. So, we are continuing with the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and we are on text 23. Next text is text 23, and you get a chance to see the Bhagavad Gita. It's also nice, you know, to have these classes to be able to see the verses that we're talking about. That's why we're taking the trouble to screen share the verses so you can read along with us, and this way learn the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so text 23. Yatra kale tvana vrittim avrittim chaiva yoginaha yata yanti tangkalam vakshami bharatashava. Yatra, at which kale, time to, and anavrittim, no return, avrittim, return, cha also, eva certainly, yoginaha, different kinds of mystics. Priyataha, having departed, yanti attained, tam, that, kalam, time, vakshyami, I shall describe, bharata, rishabha. O best of the bharatas. O best of the bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which, having passing from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Now, these particular verses we're going to hear right now don't really apply to us, but they apply to yogis, like hatha yogis. Not to bhakti yogis. Because as Prabhupada explains in his purport, and we're going to read the purport, Prabhupada said, the unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord, who are totally surrendered souls, do not care when they leave their bodies or by what method. Wow. This is actually very applicable because we've lost many devotees through different means. Some devotees have left this world from disease, some devotees have left this world through, you know, automobile accidents, some devotees have left this world through cancer, you know, long-standing diseases. And the devotee is really not concerned. Prabhupada said, do not care. So it's not even material. I mean, it's not even important, the methodology by which they leave their bodies, because they're Krishna conscious. Whereas a yogi, generally they have to leave their bodies through the Brahma Rundra on the top of their head. That's the final chakra. That chakra actually can be felt in a little baby. It's a very soft spot on the top of the head. And so they actually move the life airs all the way up there and pop out the top. Devotees generally, they come out through the mouth. And I've seen devotees, I was with my god brother, Gaurgovinda Maharaj, when he left this world, and he left through the mouth. He opened his mouth and the soul came out. And he was completely Krishna conscious. But it really doesn't matter. Because when a devotee leaves his body, it's auspicious. When a devotee comes into this world, it's auspicious. Like we hear, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. That one should understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities, but also the transcendental nature of Krishna's devotees' appearance, activities, and also leaving this world. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he left this world by entering into the Tota Gopinath deity. You know, that's a very unique thing. Whereas Krishna just manifested some illusory pastime, but if these things are not considered, you know, in a negative way, because whatever Krishna, whatever his devotees do, that's just the method they choose, and they can choose any one of a number of methods. I mean, they can choose old age if they want. It's just when Krishna wants it. So there's no, I mean, there you had devotees who were completely dedicated to Krishna, defending the temples when the Mughals attacked, and they died from the attacks. And they went back to Godhead because they are, you know, even though they were fighting or whatever, or defending the deities, then they went back to Godhead because they were engaged in Krishna's service. So one should never project a mundane or even a yogi's conception upon the life of a pure devotee, saying this is an auspicious way, this is not auspicious way, this is the right time, this is the wrong time, this is for yogis, you know, not for bhakti yogis, but for all the other types of yogis, which Prabhupada's going to talk about here. They leave everything in Krishna's hands and so easily and happily return to Godhead. But those who are not unalloyed devotees and who depend instead on such methods as spiritual realization as karma yoga, jnana yoga, and hatha yoga must leave the body at a suitable time and thereby be assured whether or not they will return to the world of birth and death. If the yogi is perfect, he can select the time and situation for leaving this material world. But if he is not so expert, his success depends on his accidentally passing away at a certain suitable time. Of course, in other words, there's no accident. Krishna makes the arrangement even for a regular yogi. The suitable times at which one passes away and does not come back are explained by the Lord in the next verse. According to the Acharya Baladeva Vidyabhushana, the Sanskrit word kala used herein refers to the presiding deity of time. You know, kala means time. So, here we go. Agni riro tiraha shukla sanma saudarayanam tatrapariyata gachanti rama rama vido janaha agni fire jyotihi light aha day shuklaha the white fortnight satmasaha the 6 months uttarayanam when the sun passes on the northern side tatra there Priyataha, those who pass away, gachanti go, Brahma, to the absolute Brahmavida, who know the absolute Janaha persons. Those who know the supreme Brahma and attain that supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery god and the light at an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. So Prabhupada explains, when fire, light, day, and the fortnight of the moon are mentioned, it is to be understood that over all of them there are various presiding deities who make arrangements for the passage of the soul. At the time of death, the mind carries one on the path to a new life. If one leaves the body at the time designated above, either accidentally or by arrangement, it is possible for him to attain the impersonal Brahmajyoti. We don't want that. Mystics who are advanced in yoga practice can arrange the time and place to leave the body. Others have no control. If by accident they leave at an auspicious moment, then they will not return to the cycle of birth and death. But otherwise, there is every possibility that they will have to return. However, for the pure devotee in Krishna consciousness, there is no fear of returning, whether he leaves the body at an auspicious or inauspicious moment, by accident or by arrangement. That's exactly what I was saying. Now, I want to make tell the story about Grandfather Bhishma in this particular context. We know exactly when Grandfather Bhishma left this world. He waited for the winter solstice. When is the winter solstice? Winter solstice is generally around December 23rd. That's when the sun starts to move north again. Like the summer solstice is in June, around the same time in June. And the sun is going... north, 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 until it hits, during the summer solstice, until it hits June, about June 23rd, and then it starts going south again. So the longest day of the year is what? Around June 23rd. Now, if you notice, if you're in North America, the days are actually getting a little shorter each day. And the shortest day of the year is about December 23rd. Incidentally, that's when people chose the holiday of Christmas. It's not that Jesus Christ actually appeared on December 25th or 23rd around that time. He did not. All the historical evidence points to the fact that he appeared earlier in the year, like January, February time of the year, rather than that. So the reason that people celebrate Christmas on December 23rd or 25th, actually, is because that was the pagan holiday before. Pagan holiday means they were primitive people who understood it was the shortest day of the year and it was a big holiday. And so the people who were, let's say, putting forth Christianity, they wanted to utilize that day to Christianize it. You know, that's called Christian West. to make a term up. So that's why you have Christmas. So anyway, so Grandfather Bhishma waited until the sun started to move to the north again before he left his body, because he understood these particular points. But pure devotees of the Lord, like you have so many people dying in the battle of Kurukshetra, while the sun was actually not going in that direction. It was still going south. And they left their body, and many of them went back to Godhead from the Battle of Kurukshetra during the month of December. So for a devotee, it's really not at all significant. Because a devotee's in Krishna's hands. A devotee also is not so much concerned about horoscopes. Prabhupada was not so much concerned about horoscopes. I know everybody generally likes to hear their horoscope, what's going to happen in the future, how long am I going to live, and Prabhupada said every time a devotee dances and chants and claps his hands, all the lines on the palm become changed and the stars become auspicious. In my own case, there was one devotee, several things happened. Several astrologers said I was supposed to die when I was 54 or 55, sorry. Never happened. Now I'm 70, going on 71. Then one time another famous astrologer said to me about one particular year, this is going to be the worst year of your life, and actually was one of the best years of my life. Because Krishna was protecting me. And then there's the story about Hanuman, and you all like this story, that Hanuman, of course, a pure devotee of Lord Ram, he's always chanting Ram, 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 Ram. So Hanuman one time was approached by Saturn. So we all have this like Saturn period in our life, and we make so many excuses that, oh, this is my Saturn period. Prabhu, I'm really not going to do too well until I leave this period of life. So anyway, so Hanuman is approached by Saturn. Saturn said, it's time for your Saturn period. And Hanuman said, okay, just sit on my head. I mean, of course, it's a metaphorical story, but it illustrates a very important point. So Hanuman said, just sit on my head, and I will bear all the austerities you're going to give me. So Saturn sat on his head, shiny, sat on his head, and then Hanuman began to put all these different things that he was carrying for Lord Ram on his head, too, and Saturn became crushed. And Saturn, shiny, started screaming, save me, save me. And then Hanuman said, then get off. So, and he got off. So the moral of the story is that if you are worshiping Ram and Krishna, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, all the incarnations, there are portions or portions of plenary portions of Krishna. If you're worshiping Ram and Krishna, then basically Saturn just gets a few seconds with you. And Krishna, and Prabhupada said that Krishna with the tip of his toe can kick away millions of Rahus. And Rahu, of course, is an inauspicious planet too, Rahu and Ketu in different ways. So we are not interested in these things, but Krishna is presenting these things to Arjuna, you know, just for his education, so he understands the superiority of devotional service. That's why. You know, why understand anything else except devotional service? So you understand the superiority of devotional service. That's all. And so the people reading the Bhagavad Gita or hearing the Bhagavad Gita will understand many things, like the difficulty of doing Hatha Yoga, the difficulty of choosing the time of your death. Can you imagine? Or choosing the time of your birth. I mean, that's crazy. We had, I mean, I don't know if I'll tell the story, but we had people, you know, devotees, who wanted to have a child born in an auspicious moment. So they were there with their watch, you know, they calculated the auspicious moment. And they had their doctor do a C-section on the wife, right at the exact section. All right, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, cut. I mean, you can't play around with things like this. Chant Hare Krishna, everything's auspicious. Even if you're going to go through trials and tribulations, that's auspicious. You're personally taken care of by Krishna. That's all. I mean, if you have a rich father, then you don't have to worry about anything else. Right? You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to get a job. Because you shouldn't be lazy. Okay. We'll continue with this discussion. Dumo ratris tata krishna sanna sa dakshinayanam tacha chandram sam jyotir yoki prapya nivartate. Dumna, smoke, ratrihi, night, tata, also, krishnaha, the fortnight of the dark moon, satna, saha, the 6 months, dakshina, ayannam, when the sun passes on the southern side, tatra there, chandramasam, the moon planet, jyoti, the light, yogi, the mystic, prapya, achieving, nivartate, comes back. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. Moon planet's not too bad, it's a heavenly planet. Purport, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni mentions that those who are expert in fruitive activities and sacrificial methods on earth attain to the moon at death. These elevated souls live on the moon for about 10,000 years by demigod calculations, that means more than our own calculation, and enjoy life by drinking soma ras. It's like a very healthy drink. It's like you know, vegetable juice. No, it's actually a little intoxicating too. But there it's good intoxication. It's not against the principles. They eventually return to Earth. This means that on the moon there are higher classes of living beings, though they may not be perceived by the gross senses. So one may question, well, let's say if they went to the moon, why didn't they see all these people enjoying like crazy? Several reasons. There's things subtly happening. Even on this Earth planet, there's subtle living entities who are present simultaneously in the same location as us. And we're just not seeing them. I mean, we call them ghosts, obviously. And there's many ghosts. Ghosts actually hang out, especially around where people take intoxication or do sinful activities. But still, there's a lot of things we don't see. We don't see radio waves. We don't see television waves. We don't see mobile phone waves. Unless we pick up our mobile phone, well, we don't see the waves. Just because we don't see something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There's many things. We don't see what's happening in our bodies. Unless you do an ultrasound. But anyway, generally, most things we don't see. Even if you study science, you know that the eyes can only see within a very limited spectrum. And outside of the spectrum, they can't see. Or the ears can only hear within certain vibratory frequencies. You know, when you're young, for example, sometimes you can hear up to 20,000 cycles a second of hertz, if you want to be scientific. 20,000 hertz, you can hear. Wow. And as you get older, you hear less and less and less. And if you're a dog, you can hear more. And you can smell more. You're given a big, sorry about this word, schnozzle, whatever it's called. You're given a big nose, and you can smell things that human beings can't smell. You know, so there are a lot of things that even living entities can perceive. Other gross living entities can perceive that we can't perceive. So what to speak on another planet? You know, we don't know what's happening. There's many other dimensions, too. We can move within three dimensions in a limited fashion, but there's unlimited, there's more dimensions. Described them, there's 10 directions. So just because we don't see things, or a spaceship, or people go up and the spaceship don't see things, whatever. I mean, another example that we sometimes use is like, the ant cannot perceive that I'm a human being, I'm a living entity. I may be perceived it by him as a mountain, a moving mountain or a cloud or something like that. I just don't think the ant is thinking of me as a big rakshasa. So anyway, so that's why. So next verse, Shukla Krishna Gati Hayati Jagata Sashvate Mate Ikiya Yat Yana Vritim Anya Ya Vartate Punaha Shukla light, Krishna in darkness, Gatiya ways of passing, he certainly ate these two. Jagataha of the material world, Shashvate of the Vedas, Mate in the opinion, Ikiya by one, Yati goes, and Avratim to no return, and Anya Ya by the other, Avartate comes back, Punaha again. According to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in the light and one in darkness. When one passes in light, he does not come back, but when one passes in darkness, he returns. The same description of departure and return is quoted by Acharya Baladeva Vidyabhushan from the Chandogya Upanishad, 5.10, verses 3 to 5. Those who are fruitive laborers and philosophical speculators from time immemorial are constantly coming and going and going and coming. Actually, they do not understand or attain ultimate salvation, for they did not surrender to Krishna. That's the only way to get saved. Even if you go to the Brahma Jyoti, that is not being saved. That is simply a temporary reprieve by being put into a coma for many millions of years. That's the Brahma Jyoti. If you like it, go ahead. You have my blessings. So, Naite Shriti Partha Jnanam Yogi Muyati Kaschana Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukto Bhavarjana. Na, never ate these two, Shriti, different paths, Partha, O son of Pitta, Janan, even if he knows Yogi, the devotee of the Lord, Muyati, is bewildered, Kaschana, any Tasmat, therefore, Sarva Kaleshu, always, Yoga Yuktaha, engaged in Krishna consciousness, Bhava, just become Arjuna or Arjuna. And here's the answer. Although the devotees know these two paths, we know about them. O Arjuna, they are never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. And here Krishna says, Krishna is here advising Arjuna, they should not be disturbed by the different paths the soul can take when leaving the material world. A devotee of the Supreme Lord should not worry whether he will depart by arrangement or by accident. The devotee should be firmly established in Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna. He should know that concern over either of these two paths is troublesome. In other words, you don't worry. The best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness is to be always dovetailed in a service, and this will make one's path to the spiritual kingdom safe, certain, and direct. The word, you know, so in other words, even if you plan all these things out, you know, the time of the day and everything, and you're a rascal, you're not going back to God. The word yoga yukta is especially significant in this verse. One who is firm in yoga is constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. In all of his activities, Srila Rupa Goswami advises, anashaktasya vishyan yathara upayunjata. And the rest of the verse is, nirbandha krishna bandhe sambandhe yukta vairagya uchate. So let me just translate that verse that Prabhupada just quoted from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That one should not be attached to the things of this world. However, one should use the things of this world in Krishna's service in an unattached way. And Prabhupada here says, one should be unattached to material affairs and do everything in Krishna consciousness. And further elaborate, use everything in Krishna consciousness. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagyam Uchate. So your renunciation is to understand who owns everything, which Krishna does. And that is your vairagya. Vairagya means freedom from passion, freedom from the desire to exploit or enjoy this world. So that's the meaning of this Sanskrit verse by Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita, in the Nectar of Devotion, sorry. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that's where it's from. By this system, which is called Yukta Vairagya, one attains perfection. Therefore, the devotee is not disturbed by these descriptions because he knows that his passage to the supreme abode is guaranteed by devotional service. So we're not disturbed by how a devotee leaves or how we leave this world because it's guaranteed. You know, we're taken care of by Krishna. We're Krishna's children. You know, just like, actually, there was an interesting song in the 1960s, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hand. And that's about God. So God has his devotees in his hand. And there was also a advertisement for insurance in the 1960s or 70s. And it was for this Allstate insurance company, which is still existing today. And the advertisement was, you're in good hands with Allstate. So they would actually show a person with two hands, obviously two hands, person with two hands and with people in his hands, trick photography, obviously, and you're in good hands with Allstate. So you're in good hands with Krishna. Krishna's just being carried everywhere. If you take shelter of Krishna's material energy, you're not in good hands with Krishna's material energy because those hands, you're standing on the hands will go like that, will clap and smash you. So, on that happy note, we'll go on to the next verse. Text 28. Vedeshu yayeshu tapasu chaiva taneshu yapunya palam pradichnam adyeti tatsarvam idam pititva yogi param stanam apaiti chajyam. Vedeshu, in the study of the Vedas, yagyeshu, in the performance of yagya, sacrifice, tapasu, in undergoing different types of austerities, cha also, eva certainly, daneshu, in giving charities, yat that which, punya palam, result of pious work, pradishtam, indicated, atyeti, surpasses, tatsaram, all those, idam, this, vidipva, knowing, yogi, the devotee, param, supreme, stanam abode, upaiti achieved, cha also adyam original. Translation, a person who accepts the path of devotional service, very important verse, is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, undergoing austerities, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these, and at the end he reaches the supreme eternal abode. So, of course, there's that famous verse, Aho Bhattaswa Pachito Garyanya Jivagre Vartite Namatupyam Tapushtapush Juhu Vashashna Arya Ramanuchir Nama Granantiyete. If one is chanting the holy names, let me give a full translation. Aho Bhattaswa Pachito Garyan. Even if one is born in the family of dog eaters, how wonderful it is that if he is chanting the holy names, Swapachito Garyan, Yajivagre, the holy names are coming from his Vartite Namatubhyam, coming from his lips and his tongue, Jivagre, Vartite Namatubhyam. then it's understood that he's actually done all these things that are mentioned here. Studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, undergoing austerity, tapustapush, jehuba shashna, arya. And he's become a high-class person. Arya means like a high-class person, Aryan. Brahmanucharnama. He's actually a Brahmin because he knows Brahman. Granantiyate. And he will actually achieve pure devotional service. So anyway, this is a wonderful verse. So devotional service begins with the process of hearing, continues with the process of chanting, and everything comes from these two processes. Remember that. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, in the association of devotees, as we said in the beginning before we began class today. Hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. That's also Lord Kapiladeva's statement. Satam Prasangam, Mamavirya Sambhado. That one who hears about Krishna's heroic activities, Satam Prasangam, in the association of devotees, Mamavirya Sambhado, Bhavanti Ritkarna, in this way, the sound vibration passes from his ear to his heart. Rasayanakatai, and it has a very medicinal effect. Rasayanakatai, Shadavratirvati Nukramishati. Then, Sinam Prasangam, Mamagiri Sambhara, Panti Rukarna, Rasayanakatai. So that gradually he will achieve Shraddha, faith, taste, and ultimately bhakti. These things follow after one after the other. So, anyway, that's the point. Chant with attention, with love, with devotion in the association of devotees, here in the association of devotees. Take advantage when you have association of devotees. This verse is the summation of the 7th and 8th chapters. So, really important verse. Prabhupada said summation, the summary, the gist, the 7th and 8th chapters. That all we have to do is accept the path of devotional service. And you don't have to worry. I mean, you have to follow the path, the details. But you don't have to worry about all these other things. Your karma, the time of the day, how you're sitting, how you're breathing, what family you were born in, how old you are. I mean, you got so many things to worry about. How much money you have, how little money you have, who your friends are, whether your family loves you, your family hates you, doesn't matter. This verse is the summation of the 7th and 8th chapters. It's a powerful statement by Prabhupada, which particularly deal with Krishna consciousness and devotional service. One has to study the Vedas under the guidance of the spiritual master and undergo many austerities and penances while living under his care. A brahmachari has to live in the home of the spiritual master just like a servant, and he must beg alms from door to door and bring them to the spiritual master. He takes food only under this master's order, and if the master neglects to call the student for food that day, the student fasts. These are some of the Vedic principles for observing brahmacharya. Now, I know many people who are listening have not been brahmacharis, nor will they in this lifetime have the opportunity to be brahmacharis. But the essence of brahmacharya life is described by Prahlad Maharaj, Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Guraritam. The Brahmachari should go to make, I'm just going to paraphrase so it fits everybody's situation, should make wherever he is living the place of the spiritual master. Actually, the verse says, goes to the ashram of the spiritual master. But in these cases, make your home the place of the guru. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta Gurorhitam. And he becomes controlled, tame. Danta means tame. Gurorhitam. And learns to ask the question that we were talking to devotees about before. What would my guru want in this particular circumstance? Rather than what do I want? You know, I want so many things. But what would Guru Maharaj say? If he was here now, what would he say right now? What should I do? Not how I feel, but what should I do? So that's brahmacharya. Archana, then good behavior. Vasavan, one learns he's a servant. Nicho, you know, he comes fixed. And then he understands the guru is actually the friend. And, you know, because sometimes the friend may chastise you, but that's actually good. If you don't get chastised by someone when you're in trouble, then you're in trouble. Then, you know, that person's not your friend. Like the story Prabhupada gave of this rascal boy who wasn't chastised by his aunt, and he became a murderer. And when he was condemned to death, he was asked, "What is your last wish?" And he said, "My last wish is to talk to my aunt." And he talked to his aunt by biting off her ear. And she said, "Why'd you do that?" And he said, "Because you never chastised me." So anyway, so we can all be brahmacharis in that sense. Grahastha brahmachari, sannyas brahmachari, whatever. After the student studies the Vedas under the master for some time, this is the traditional system, which we cannot institute nowadays. From the age 5 to 20, you may become a man of perfect character. Study of the Vedas is not meant for the recreation of armchair speculators, but for the formation of character. After this training, the brahmachari is allowed to enter into household life and marry. When he is a householder, he has to perform many sacrifices so they may achieve further enlightenment. He must also give charity according to the country, time, candidate, discriminating among charity and goodness and passion and ignorance as described in Bhagavad Gita. Actually, if he performs Sankirtan Yajna, he doesn't have to really get into all these details either. Then after retiring from household life upon accepting the order of Vanaprastha, he undergoes severe penances, living in the forest, dressing with tree bark, not shaving, etc. Anyway, that you don't have to do if you're engaged in the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It doesn't matter. Keep a vipra, keep a myasi, shudra kena na, ye Krishna tattva veda, say guru hai. You can remain, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. What is it? Stani stita, this actually is quoting from Bhagavatam. Stani stita, shutikatam, tan van manobir. Just stay where you are. There's no need of dressing in tree bark. Prabhupada is just presenting the old traditional system. Not presenting what we're going to do here, not going to present what we're going to do in India. He's presenting what was happening in the past, the essence. One has to derive the essence of these things to understand how to apply them. We don't want to see people dressed in tree bark and not shaving. Prabhupada said, if you don't shave, instead of chaturmash, we say it's chaturmes. Anyway, we want people glorifying Krishna, be transcendental Vaishnavas. By carrying out the orders of brahmacharya, household life, anabrasa, and finally sannyas, one becomes elevated to the perfectional stage of life. Some are then elevated to the heavenly kingdoms, which we are not so interested in. When they become even more advanced, they are liberated in the spiritual sky, either in the impersonal brahmacharya, the Vaikuntha planets of Krishna Loka. This is the path outlined in the Vedic literatures. The beauty, here Prabhupada clarifies everything. The beauty of Krishna consciousness, however, is that by one stroke, by engaging in devotional service, one can surpass all the rituals, the different orders of life. What does that mean, engaging in devotional service? Following the practice of sadhana, becoming perfect in sadhana, you know, raganuga bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, and importantly, Yari deka tarikar Krishna upadesh, Mari gai guru hoi tore desh. Actually bringing people to Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna says, no one is more dear to me than he who brings people to his lotus feet. And we see that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada really just did things that were in many cases against some of the rituals, like crossing an ocean, in order to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked, you know, how can you do some of these things? He said, I've waited many, many lifetimes to do these things, to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And, you know, certainly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought Jagai and Madai to Krishna consciousness when they were completely fallen, Haridas Thakur. So there's no question that we have to worry about all these different rituals. You chant Hare Krishna, even if you don't know any other mantras, you'll become perfect. So let's continue. The words, idam viditva, indicate that one should understand the instructions given by Krishna in this chapter, in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. One should try to understand these chapters, not by scholarship or mental speculation, but by hearing them in association with devotees. Chapters 7 through 12 are the essence of Bhagavad Gita. I spoke about that before. They're the cream. The first six and the last six chapters are like the covering of the middle six chapters, which are especially protected by the Lord. If one is fortunate enough to understand Bhagavad Gita, especially these middle six chapters in the association of devotees, then his life at once becomes glorified beyond all offenses, sacrifice, charities, speculations, etc. For one can achieve all the most of these activities simply by Krishna consciousness. I think we will complete this chapter tomorrow. Let's see how much more is in this. Yeah, there's a lot more. So I wanted to leave time open for questions and not go on too long. So remember that these activities simply in Krishna consciousness. So now we can take a few questions, and then after that we'll have an announcement by Aditya Narayan Prabhu. Hold on 1 second. I am going to allow you to ask questions, and I have some chats there right in the beginning. 1 second. Everybody is forcibly unmuted as far as the chats are concerned. Oh. No questions. Okay. Who has a question? Someone is trying.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Please accept my humble obeisances and all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Prabhupada. See, good to see you again. Good not to see you. Now I see you.
Maharaj, while reciting one of the verse, the question I had was passing of Bhishma Deva and specifically in Uttarayana. I thought... Yeah. Throughout my understanding was Bhishma Deva was a great devotee and also
let me mute everyone else because we're getting some interference from other people. Okay, keep talking.
Yes, Mara. So I thought Bhishma Deva was not only just the Mahajan, but he was the great devotee of Lord. And when he was passing away, he was looking into the Lord's eyes and he passed away. He left his body. Yeah. But then the question I had was, when such a great devotee, why would he choose a time, specifically Uttarayana?
Why did he pick that time? Because that was the ritual. When possible, you know, devotees do different rituals to set an example. There's several reasons. Devotees do different rituals to set an example for people who are not devotees, first of all. Secondly, we don't want devotees criticized. I get asked this question oftentimes in regard to the Pinda ceremony and also, you know, other ceremonies that people do for their relatives when the relatives pass away. And they ask me, devotees have to do this? And I say, no, devotees don't have to do it. However, if you're in a society where it's commonly done, if you don't do it, people will criticize, people will misunderstand. So generally, you know, we're talking about the Shraddha ceremony. In Hindi you call it Shraddha, but I call it Shraddha because that's the Sanskrit word. So the Shraddha ceremony, the devotees don't have to do it, no. Because they're chanting Hare Krishna. If you chant Hare Krishna so many generations forward and backwards, your family becomes liberated. Yet, I tell the devotees to do it because it actually sets an example for those who are not devotees, and it also, they won't think that we're a bunch of malechas, you know. People criticize us. Like in Fiji, where I do a lot of, or I try to preach to the devotees, which is kind of difficult in Fiji, because everyone's so attached to the demigods. They would rather go to They'd rather go to Yamaraj than to Krishna Loka in Fiji. So in Fiji, I just tell the devotees, you know, do it. Follow all. And then the devotees asked me, you know, what is the period of contamination when a family member passes away? You know, this is a general question. My answer is, whatever your culture is, because in different places in India, there's a different rules. It's really interesting. Some places 3 days, sometimes 11 days, some days are 21 days. So the point is, we act in terms of the culture that we're in. Krishna says that we should not disturb the minds of those who are materially attached, but encourage them to work in a spirit of devotion. Because for a Vaishnava is transcendental. I mean, we really don't have to do these rituals if we're actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness. However, we will do them to set an example, you know, yad yada charati shrestas tata deitaro janaha. And also, because we don't want to be criticized. You know, we don't want people, the point of the movement is say, oh, you're just a bunch of, you know, uncultured slobs. So, we do that. I mean, just like in America before the coronavirus, we shake hands with people. Now we don't. Even though it's a stupid Malecha thing. Now even the Malechas are going, namaste. By Krishna's grace. Or sometimes they're elbow knocking, which has, I don't know what kind of a culture that is.
Yeah, Maharaj, yeah. That was the question always I had, that why would Bhishma Deva really wanted to set that example, especially he was throughout the Mahabharata was like, you know, of highest standard, pious devotee.
Yeah, but he also made a lot of mistakes too.
True.
I mean, Bhishma really, really made a lot of mistakes. He, in order to tell the truth, he actually broke all the religious principles. And at the end, he understood that. He had the realization in the end when he's talking to Yudhisthira Maharaj that dharma is actually determined by the result of an activity, not the activity itself. And then Bhishma gave the example. He actually told the story at the end of the Mahabharata, when he's lying on the battlefield, ready to pass away. He tells a story, he says, once upon a time, there were a bunch of dacoits that were chasing a family, ready to kill a family. The family took shelter in the ashram of a sage. The dacoits asked the sage, where's the family? The sage said, I cannot tell a lie, the family is in my ashram. The dacoits killed the family. So the sage, in telling the truth, did something irreligious. That story came from Bhishma. And Bhishma understood he had made a big mistake. By sticking to his promise, when in fact he should have broken the promise to keep the religious principles.
And what worries me is, Maharaj, that Bhishma, a pious soul like Bhishma Deva, who has followed everything in life and still he had to struggle so much with those arrows and all being pierced into his body. And what about, you know, fellows like me and all who are like, you know, very, very lower than the chandalas or whatever you can add it to.
So why did Bhishma have to take all those arrows? That was his chivalrous relationship with Krishna. Actually, his taking the arrow, when he hit Krishna with the arrows, Krishna experienced them like lover's bites. So you have to understand there's something going on between Bhishma and Krishna, which is actually the indirect rus of chivalry, which is, we're not kshatriyas. So it's hard for us to understand that. I mean, I don't think I would ever want to approach Krishna by being shooting at him and having him shoot at me, or having Arjuna shoot at me, you know, or Krishna rushing at me with a chariot wheel. I don't think I would like that. But these are kshatriyas. They were a different type. Their mentality was, you know, just like very chivalrous. I mean, let's say football players. Somehow or other, they like beating each other up on the field, right? For me, it's stupid. I mean, when I was in school, and they put me in football, I just ran away. I was the first person ever to fail gymnasium, to fail physical education in the history of the school. Because I thought it was the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Tackling people. And when people had to, we had to wrestle, I just told the person, I'm going to throw myself on the back and say, you win after 2 seconds. It was the fastest wrestling match in the history of mankind. Oh, but that's not, my mentality is different. But Bhishma has this, he enjoys that sort of fight.
Oh,
And another
oh.
thing, it's mentioned in the Mahabharata that Krishna blessed him, he wouldn't feel the pain of the arrows. So he could actually speak with a clear head. So all these different things are there too. And these are the Lord's pastimes. And Bhishma is a great devotee. He's one of the Mahajans. Good question. Okay, one other person asked a question. Oh my God, we got too many people. Charna, you can ask a question.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna to all. I'm totally confused now because in the end of this verse, in the middle of this end of this chapter, they say, by carrying out these orders, brahmacharya, la la la, and the others, one become elevated to the perfection stage of life. Okay, some are then elevated to the heavenly kingdom. And when they become even more advanced, they are liberated in the spiritual sky, in impersonal majority, or in the Vaikuntha planet. So why we have this sentence? Because all the devotees are going in the spiritual sky where the Krishna is. So
It's
why now?
not about devotees. That's about people who don't take directly the devotional path.
But they say by carrying out the orders of brahmacharya, householder, vanaprastha,
That's right.
and
So there's actually brahmacharis who are not engaged in devotional service. There's impersonalist brahmacharis, there's ritualistic brahmacharis. One who's actually a devotee, there's many other types of brahmacharis. Is it and
okay.
grihasthas. Yeah, it's not we're not the only type. I mean, anyway. You have the Brahma Kumaris too. I'm not going to talk about them. But anyways, so there's many types of brahmacharis, but if we're talking about brahmachari devotees, that's a different category. All right?
So this is for yogis, all this end of the
Yeah.
term.
Well, generally for the yogis and impersonalists like that, but we also have the four orders of life too. We have brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. Yeah, we have that too. But Prabhupada is speaking very generally here, not about only about devotees. And I mean, it is even for devotees, it's good to get brahmachari training. But if one is not able to, I was fortunate enough to get brahmachari training. I joined at a very early age, 2 years of age. No, I joined at about 20. Better late than never. And I got training. I mean, it's really. Training. Like the first day I joined, I was sent out to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. First day. Now, I was sort of tricked because I was told, yeah, you can be the temple treasurer. And then there was only $5 in the treasury, so that took about 2 seconds to count all the money. And then the temple president said, all right, here's some magazines, hit the road and chant Hare Krishna. And I went out and I was trained up and I'm happy about it. I was trained up living in a room with 30 other people, men, sharing the same clothes and tolerating things for years like that until I became a Paramahamsa. No, that's a joke. Until I became a sannyasi. So anyway, so that's the training. And because I had that training in good sadhana, the main thing about the training was good sadhana. Waking up early. I was trained. Wake up early every morning. Go to Mangal Arati. Eat prasadam. Military training. Nowadays, if you try to get military training to devotees, they start crying. Sometimes we get people in the temple who say, do this, and they go, woo! Guru Maharaj. And their eyes get big, and I just feel so sorry for them. So sorry. Guru Maharaj, we have to go to the beach, Guru Maharaj. And then, you know, because I'm soft-hearted, I feel so sorry. I said, all right, take it easy. You know, so in the beginning days, it wasn't like that. It was like boot camp in the army. And that was really nice. And I think in the long term, maybe we'll start having, when we get things develop here in North Carolina and other places, we'll start having like summer retreats for grihasthas, like a summer boot camp. So people can come for 2 weeks after the coronavirus. People can come for 2 weeks and just have like strict Krishna consciousness. You know, get up early in the morning, raise the flag, you know, sing the national anthem. I'm just joking about that. Have inspection, have me go through the ashram and inspect the beds to make sure that they're made correctly. So, anyway, maybe in the future. Well, 2 weeks a year for the grihastha, just like in the army, they have the reserves 2 weeks out of the year or something like that. They have to go. So, anyway, I think we have to end now because time is of the essence, and Aditya Narayan Prabhu has some announcements. Do you have some announcements, Aditya Narayan Prabhu? Are you there? Yeah, you're there. I don't know if he has any announcements. Anyway. So, anyway, thank you very much for coming to the Sunday program. And let me put something in the chat window. Oh, there he is. You want to say something? No.
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bell. So, any announcements for all the devotees?
Maharaj, you mentioned about Janmashtami already. So, I just wanted to welcome Prashant Prabhu, the Prabhu who asked you the question about Bhishma Dev. Prashant Prabhu, he actually moved from some other place and now he's here in Apex. So we'd like to welcome Prabhu into our community. Prashant Prabhu, do you want to just introduce yourself so we all can know you?
Nothing big about me, Prabhu. All I was doing was I was at Boise, working for this company called Micron as a research engineer. And that's where I had an association with Srinivas Acharya Das, where he was making my belief and firm faith in Krishna consciousness. And he was able to bring me to the 16 rounds. And then I was doing a work from home earlier and all. For 1.5 year, I was traveling between Boise and North Carolina. Now, because of this COVID situation and all, I'm really blessed that I'm staying in North Carolina and able to associate with Maharaj and with people like you, Prabhu. Yeah, this is a little about me. And yeah, if there is something like for a Janmashtami, I can do some kind of contribution, please let me know on that one. Any particular activity and all, I want to contribute it.
Okay, very nice.
Sure. So Hare Krishna. So Maharaj mentioned that we will be, those who are on our mailing list, we'll be sending out newsletter, and that actually has options where you can sign up for different Abhishek options. Different DT, like we have like a new outfit for Radha Golokanda, and that's going to be like 1001. And then we have jewelry for Radha Golokanda 501. And then for Maha Abhishek, we're going to have Maha Abhishek. We have four different levels: 1001, 501, 251, 108. And also the Prasadam sponsorship, the main Prasadam sponsorship is 101. And then we have other levels like $351 sponsorship. And also we are going to have various offerings during the day. So that's $108 sponsorship. So there are multiple options. If you're on a mailing list, you'll soon receive the entire form where you can actually select your option and select your donation method, either check or PayPal or our website or credit card. So you can select that and send it to us, or you can go to our website, newgoloka.com, and we'll have all the options there. So you can also select there and send us your donation. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to us. My number, I'm Aditya Narayan Das. My number is 407-451-7735. I'll put it on the chat. And
thank you so much, Prabhu. Yeah, I think I can go with the online transfer.
So you can show us and...
Sure, Prabhu. I noted your number.
Yeah, just contact Aditya Narayan Prabhu for that.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, and thank you so much, Maharaj.
And as far as the details of the Janmashtami celebration, you want to say anything now, Aditya Narayan Prabhu?
Maybe next week, Maharaj,
next week.
We can share more details exactly, but we have already mentioned that, you know, it's going to be more simpler than other years. And our main will be darshan will be open through the day. And then we also encourage people that, you know, normally it's a working day. People tend to come around 7, 8. But if it is possible for you to come earlier during the day, that way we can space out the crowd. So we encourage that. And so the main thing, that will be darshan. So everyone, there will be lines where, you know, devotees will be asked to maintain social distance. You can take darshan, offer aarti, and then there will be abhishek and then to go prasadam. So those will be like the main festivities on Janmashtami. And again, darshan is open the whole day, and the entire thing is also going to be online, and the parking is going to be across the street. So like in case in the evening we get, you know, a large number of people, we may have to request you to start for sometime. We'll make things move quickly, but just be prepared that to maintain all the safety measures, we may have to request you to wait for a few minutes before joining the line. So I think with the COVID, I think everyone, you know, will be prepared to that there are going to be differences. So we want to have the Janmashtami celebration, but at the same time, we want to make it as safe as possible for everyone. And that's why we have you know, cut down our big Janmashtami and made it more simple. But we encourage people to come or watch online. You can always make donations. Either through the website is the best, or you will receive the mail in. You can also mail us the donations.
Yeah, and there'll be continuous Abhishek from about 6 or 7 to 11 in the evening for people to do the Abhishek. That'll be outside, and it will be, you know, just one person by one person. You know, social distancing. So if you're sponsoring an Abhishek, you'll get an opportunity, but it'll just be one person by one person. It's going to be many hours going on continually, probably in a tent outside. And there'll be dance performances too, but that'll all be online. All the dance performances will be online, and unfortunately, the Midnight Aarti will be online. We can't have a crowded temple room. Midnight Aarti will be maybe 5 people in the temple room and the pujari. And I'm the pujari for Midnight Aarti, and if there's any more than 5, I'm not doing it. I mean, 5 to 10 maximum, I'm not doing it. Because it's going to be too dangerous. It means, because North Carolina is actually, anyway, we're at a peak right now. Okay? Thank you very much.
Okay, Maharaj. I think that's...
All right. We want to thank everybody for joining us, and we'll see... just to remind you all, 6 o'clock, every 6 o'clock in the evening, every day, Bhagavad Gita continued discussion. You're welcome to join us. And Sunday, it's at 5 o'clock. And that means Monday in Australia, New Zealand, Fiji. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.